A new study published last Thursday has found that the standard tool used to detect breast cancer mammograms, may actually increase the risk of breast cancer in some young women who are already susceptible to the disease. The study examined 2,000 women and found that those who were under the age of 30 and carried the BRCA breast cancer genes increased their risk of developing breast cancer dramatically through the use of diagnostic mammograms and other chest x-rays. According to an ABC News report on the study, quote, if all carriers of the gene had one mammogram before age 30, the number developing breast cancer by age 40 would rise from 9 to 14 out of every 100. The recommendation by the American Cancer Society for women under 30 who have the breast cancer genes is to get yearly screening mammograms, but in Europe, such women are advised to get screened through the use of MRIs instead. Now, a new book by breast radiologist Handel Reynolds, who formerly was at Indiana University and currently is at a private practice in Atlanta, Georgia, questions the wisdom of the widespread use of mammography. Published by Cornell University Press, The Big Squeeze, a social and political history of the controversial mammogram, delves into the history of the tool, its adoption as an effective tool in the fight against breast cancer, the many industries it has spawned in medical equipment, and what the benefits and risks of mammography are. Handel Reynolds now joins me on the phone. Welcome to Uprising.
Hi, Sonali. Thank you so very much for having me on your show. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, first, let's discuss this new study that just came out that is certainly concerning. It's not terribly new. There has been suspicion and fear among women before that subjecting a sensitive part of your body to radiation, couldn't that increase the risk of the disease that you're trying to protect yourself from?
Right. So first thing we should make clear is that this applies to a very small segment of the population. This study applies to women who are genetically predisposed to breast cancer, women who have mutations in the BRCA, BRCA1 or BRCA2 genes, which probably is no more than about 1 to 2% of the general population. Now, these women are at exceedingly high risk of breast cancer. Up to 60 or 70% of them will develop breast cancer in their lifetime. And what the researchers found is that because these breasts are so susceptible to breast cancer, that if these women are exposed to radiation prior to the age of 30, that they significantly increase their risk of breast cancer. So the risk went up quite significantly, whether it was mammography or chest x-rays or any type of radiation prior to the age of 30. They found no increased risk of breast cancer among these women if they were exposed after the age of 30. Now, this is important because traditionally we've encouraged such women to undergo rather intensive screening to look for breast cancer because they're at such high risk. Currently, the American Cancer Society recommends that these women undergo a multi-layered approach with mammography and MRI. And based on this information, we would certainly say that they should not start having mammograms before age 30, but they should start having MRIs perhaps as early as age 25. And then once they hit 30 and beyond, we would advise mammography and MRI on an annual basis for these women. But bear in mind, this only applies to women who are gene positive for these extremely high-risk genes, and so it does not apply to the vast majority of the population. Now, let me give you a little context in terms of the amount of radiation that is applied during a mammogram. So when a woman undergoes a mammogram, the amount of radiation she's exposed to is equivalent approximately to about 7 weeks of naturally occurring background radiation. So as we walk around on planet Earth, we are subject to a variety of natural sources of radiation, such as cosmic radiation coming from outer space, depending on where you live, radon gas. And a mammogram is equivalent to about 7 weeks of your annual dosage of natural radiation. So it's a very small amount, and in a normal risk woman, a woman who is not gene positive, the risk of developing a breast cancer from mammography is incredibly low.
So let's talk about the adoption of this tool and historically in the 70s when this was becoming, when the use of the mammogram became extremely popular. You write about this history and how this tool became popular at a time when it was very important for politicians to be seen as doing something about cancer, particularly about cancer and women's health.
Yes. So the mammography has been politicized for many decades, quite honestly. And in fact, the birth of mammography in the early 1970s was significantly aided by a major piece of legislation known as the National Cancer Act, signed by President Nixon early in the 1970s, that provided huge sums of money for cancer control programs. And it was these funds in the early 1970s that significantly aided the rollout of this new screening tool starting around 1973. Now, as far as the politicization of this this test, we're all familiar with the 2009 episode where the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force rescinded its previous recommendation for screening among women 40 to 49 and the huge uproar that caused in the midst of the debate over the Affordable Care Act. Your audience might be intrigued to know that this was not the first time such a scenario had played out. In fact, in 1993, the National Cancer Institute dropped its recommendation for screening women under 50. And there was similar uproar because this occurred during the debate over President Clinton's Health Security Act, or his attempt at healthcare reform. And so the same scenario that we saw in the recent episode in 2009 actually played out some decades earlier. And this business of mammography screening, particularly women under 50, has been highly politicized almost from the word go.
Now, what about the industries that have been spawned from the use, the widespread use of mammography? You note in your book that initially mammograms were simply done by regular X-ray machines.
Yes. So early on, you know, in the 60s and 70s and even into the early 80s, a lot of mammography was performed on what we call general-purpose X-ray equipment. So this would be an X-ray machine that might be used to X-ray a broken bone, for example. It wasn't until sort of in the mid-70s that we started to see the adoption of dedicated mammography units that look like the ones we use today, where there is a compression paddle and the breast is compressed for a period of time and the image is taken. Since then, we've had significant evolutions in this technology, going from the old-fashioned film mammogram to about 10 years ago now, the digital mammogram. And here lately, we've gone another step further into the 3D mammogram realm.
And this is a pretty big moneymaker?
Well, you know, mammography itself is not a moneymaker per se for the providers, because as a screening test, the Medicare reimbursement rate set by Congress is kept relatively low so as not to affect access to the technology. So, you know, mammography itself is not a moneymaker per se for the providers. In fact, there are lots of mammography facilities that barely break even. But, of course, mammography is tied up together with a whole corollary economy built around breast cancer and other tools for finding breast cancer and the breast cancer awareness pink ribbon movement. All of that is tied together. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, all of that is sustained by ongoing aggressive mammography screening.
Now, how is the mammogram been treated? How is it that it's sort of become a more of a silver bullet to detect cancer, and that sometimes women actually think that getting yearly mammograms or regular mammograms may actually prevent breast cancer?
Well, yes, you're absolutely right. There is a high degree of confusion. In fact, there was a survey about 5-6 years ago that found that over 50% of women held the notion that mammography was preventive. Now, we need to make it clear that mammography is a screening tool. It does not prevent breast cancer. It is designed to find it early. In fact, I saw an article online on the Jezebel.com site just a couple days ago. The article entitled, I'll just read it, "Great, Breast Cancer Prevention May Lead to Breast Cancer." And it's talking about the same study we just discussed, but they use the word prevention referring to mammography. So there's widespread misconception about what mammography does.
And so when women who find cancers who get regular mammograms, often they are shocked that they would actually get breast cancer because they've sort of followed the rules.
Exactly. And we find this quite frequently. When I speak to patients because I find an abnormality on a mammogram and subsequently it's found to be breast cancer, many women are quite shocked, you know, and they'll say things like, but I have my mammogram every year. And you know, we have to spend a few minutes discussing, you know, the difference between early detection and prevention. So, you know, let me summarize kind of what we know about what mammography does. Mm-hmm. Mammography is an important tool in the fight against breast cancer, and it's a tool that will continue to be available to all women. We know that women who are screened will reduce their risk of dying of breast cancer. That magnitude of benefit varies by age, so older women experience a more significant reduction in their risk of dying than younger women. We also know that mammography has certain risks or harms, such as false positives, false negatives, and overdiagnosis. Some of those risks are more common in younger women. And that is the reason why we've always argued about the younger population, because the benefit is somewhat smaller and some of the risks are somewhat greater. So that risk-benefit ratio actually improves as women get older. And, you know, we've been arguing about these younger women where it's more of a close call as to whether it's the right thing to do or not.
And it's also very confusing for women when the recommendations change over time, and also when sometimes the recommendations don't change or stay the same because of political considerations. I understand earlier this year, for example, the recommendations for pap smears changed from doing it every once a year to once every 3 years, and that there's actually no difference in detecting certain ovarian cancers. What is the current recommendation? You mentioned earlier for women who carry the BRCA genes, the ACS, the American Cancer Society, recommends yearly mammograms. What about for ordinary women who don't necessarily carry that gene?
Right. So currently, the American Cancer Society recommends annual mammography starting at age 40. And I guess to kind of piggyback on your original statement just a few moments ago, you're absolutely right. We have employed an approach to mammography promotion over the past several decades that I would characterize as the just do it approach. Basically, we've traditionally just told women, you know, mammography is good for you, you should just do it. We have really not talked about the full story. We've highlighted the benefits without necessarily discussing the harms or potential risks. And what I feel is that this has done women a disservice. And I believe that modern women are better served by a full and open discussion of mammography's benefits and potential risks, because all screening tests have some potential downsides. So I believe the better approach is informed decision making, and that's what I hope to achieve with this book, is to give women the whole story, all of the information, so they can talk it through with their doctors and hopefully be empowered to make the right choice for them. So having received all the information, a woman may choose to begin screening at 40. That's quite reasonable, quite rational. A woman may choose to wait till she's 50. That's also quite reasonable. And quite frankly, there will be a small percentage of women who, having been totally informed of the issues, will choose not to be screened. And I think we need to respect all of those decisions.
You mentioned earlier overdiagnosis. What is that and why is it dangerous?
Yes, so overdiagnosis is a potential consequence of screening for any cancer. And the bottom line is that some cancers that are found when we go hunting for cancer are things that would not have become evident in the person's lifetime if we were not looking so hard. Now, this occurs quite commonly with breast and prostate cancer screening. Now, we don't know the full extent of it. We can't say exactly how often it occurs, but some studies have suggested that up to a third of breast cancers that are found at routine screening could be overdiagnosis. Now, there's no way to know which ones are and which ones aren't, and so all patients who have breast cancer are treated. Now, in the book, I talk about one specific type of breast cancer that is very susceptible to this overdiagnosis problem. And if I could take a minute just to drill down a little bit, it's known as DCIS, ductal carcinoma in situ, or stage zero breast cancer. And this is where the cancer is completely within the milk ducts. There's no lump, there's no pain. It's completely asymptomatic. Now, before mammography, it constituted about 1 or 2% of breast cancers. Now, in the era of mammography, it constitutes up to 25% of breast cancers. And the reason for that is very simple. This type of breast cancer or this stage of breast cancer is very easily found on mammography. It shows up as little white dots. We call them microcalcifications. And so now that we're doing mammograms, we find lots and lots of these DCIS lesions. About 50,000 women a year are diagnosed with this condition. Now you may ask, what's the matter with that? That's great. We're finding all this early cancer. The potential problem is that we know that not all of these DCIS lesions that we're finding would ever have amounted to anything, because a cancer that stays in that stage cannot kill. It's non-lethal. And only about a third to a half of those cancers would progress to the next level, what we call invasive cancer, and could potentially be lethal. So at the present time, we believe a good chunk of the women who are diagnosed with DCIS today as a result of screening could potentially represent overdiagnosis.
Well, Dr. Handel Reynolds, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
You are very welcome. It was my pleasure, and thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Dr. Handel Reynolds is a breast radiologist currently in a private practice in Atlanta, Georgia, formerly chief of radiology at Indiana University. We've been talking about his book, The Big Squeeze, A Social and Political History of the Controversial Mammogram, published by Cornell University Press.